Good morning, family. If you would please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, Luke 16, and we'll be picking it up around verse 19. Now, Lonnie was a good friend of mine way back in high school. I was a preacher's kid. He was an engineer's kid. My family was religious, obviously. His family was not. Lonnie was an agnostic, but he wasn't antagonistic to matters of faith. And so he and I, during the school year and in between, we'd have lots of conversations about God and the Bible and spiritual things. But the bottom line is that for Lonnie, in order to believe, wanted God to do something dramatic in his life. He wanted God to work some wonder, give some demonstration of divine power. Reading about those kinds of things in the Bible just wasn't good enough for Lonnie. It had to be personal, and it had to be dramatic. Now, the last time he and I had any contact a few years ago, he was still agnostic. Here in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, Jesus tells the story of a man who got his personal and dramatic proof of Scripture's truth, but just a little too late. There was a rich man who was dressed in fine purple and fine linen, lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, so he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they'll not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Now, people often go to this story to answer the question, where are the dead now? I've seen elaborate charts of the geography of Hades based on this story. And I'm not saying that we can't use this story to kind of peek beyond the veil to see something of what goes on after death. But I want to submit for your consideration that that's not really what this story is about. It isn't about where we go when we die. The lead up to this story, as found in verses 1 through 17, is the theme of having to make a choice between serving God or making the pursuit of wealth your God. If money is our master, God is not. Now, when the Pharisees heard Jesus telling his disciples this truth, they mocked the Savior, according to verse 14, because they were lovers of money. So Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus in response to their ridiculing of his teaching that we can't serve two masters, that we can't serve both God and money, The context of this confrontation and of this story was not the subject of what happens after we die, but rather what should happen while we walk this earth. That's the issue. The rich man in Jesus' story, according to verses 22 and 23, died and was buried, and in Hades being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham. As we saw, back in the land of the living, he had five brothers. And he asked Abraham to send dead Lazarus to warn them to change their ways. Now, Abraham's response was that his brothers have the Scriptures, Moses and the prophets. Let the brothers pay attention to the Scriptures, verse 29. But the rich man said that Scripture wasn't good enough. After all, during his lifetime, he hadn't taken the Scriptures seriously. But if a ghost showed up, his brothers would certainly turn their lives around. Abraham, however, was pretty direct. If they won't take the Scriptures seriously, they won't take a dead person seriously. Listen again to their exchange in verses 27 through 31. The rich man said to Abraham, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they'll not come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced if someone rises from the dead." Now, I try to remember this lesson personally because, to be honest, I'm one of those who wishes I could see or could have seen someone walk on water. I would love to see someone healed miraculously. Right here in church. Frankly, all growing up, I prayed that God would take away my asthma, and He never did. I think it'd be pretty cool to see someone rise from the dead. Maybe I'm alone in those kinds of daydreaming, if you will. But as the Gospels repeatedly demonstrate, the majority of those who actually did witness Jesus' miracles and who actually did hear His teaching didn't believe in Him. And they were religious people, not agnostics. Well, I'd like to think that had I lived back then, I would have been one of Jesus' faithful who responded positively to His wonders and His teaching. Probably shouldn't kid myself. We all like to think we'd do better than those who went before us, right? As if we're already doing better than they did. That's exactly what the scribes and Pharisees said they would have done had they lived back in the days of the prophets Elijah or the prophet Isaiah. According to Matthew 23, 29 through 31, they said that unlike their parents, they would have listened to God's prophets instead of murdering them as their ancestors did. They would have done better had they lived back in the day. Sure. And yet standing in front of them was one who was greater than all the prophets combined. And what did they do to Him? They murdered Him. Just like their ancestors murdered the prophets. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it we feel the need to see God do something instead of read about God doing something way in the past? If we don't value and listen to the Scriptures that we have, if what God has already said and done isn't good enough for us, then we'd probably be just as dismissive of God if He did a work of power right underneath our noses. We might even say, well, that may have been, you know, just pure coincidence. Can we do the best 2 out of 3, God, just so we know this is a pattern rather than an accident? For when we cannot take God at His word, neither will we be convinced if someone were to rise from the dead. So, listening to Scripture is one of Jesus' points in this story. But there's a greater point related to it. Jesus' brother James put it this way over in James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Or as our scripture reading put it this morning, the foolish person is the one who hears what the Lord says but doesn't do what the Lord says. The wise person is the one who listens and then lives it. The one who puts the Lord's words into practice. Look back to the beginning of Jesus' story. Verses 19 through 21. See the description of the rich man there? He lived lavishly every day. He dressed well. He ate well. Life was a party. At the main entrance to his estate, however, was a starving, sickly, impoverished man who was laid there at the entrance day after day. And this starving poor man longed intensely every single day just to be allowed to eat what fell off the table and onto the floor. Do you see that? Which means that wasn't happening. He wouldn't need to long intensely for that if it was actually happening. In other words, the rich man had way more than he needed and could actually use. But he chose to ignore Lazarus and his situation. He treated Lazarus as if he was invisible, walking around him or stepping over him every day as he came and went from his mansion. He was blind to the starving man, and deaf to the Scriptures. For the law of Moses and the prophets told the Israelites to take care of those in need. Just one example from the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 15:11. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. The rich man surely knew that passage. But he didn't live it. Another example out of many from the prophets, from Isaiah 58 and verse 7. God rebukes and reminds Israel that what He wants them to do is share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him. Yet the rich man in Jesus' story didn't apply this teaching in his own life. He wouldn't let Lazarus on his property. He certainly wouldn't share his table scraps with Lazarus. Now, the rich man didn't end up in torment in Hades after he died because he'd been financially successful in life. I've actually heard some people say, really, you're going to hell for being rich? That's not what Jesus said. He ended up where he did because he chose not to be a doer of the word. He chose not to live the way Scripture said to live, nor to do what Scripture said to do. And it's not like he didn't know of anybody who needed help. It's not like he had to search high and low, send out his servants, please, can you find me some charity to support? He only had to go outside his front door, and there was an opportunity. An opportunity he walked around every single day. What he chose to do instead of live by God's teaching was to consistently treat a fellow human being as a doormat. He was selfish. He was stingy. He turned a deaf ear to Scripture and a blind eye to Lazarus and was utterly lacking in compassion and generosity. Because he would not hear nor live by what God had said through Moses and the prophets about caring for the needy, he ended up in torment in Hades. And it sounds like his five brothers were cut from the same cloth. He didn't want them coming where he was. But whatever it was they were doing, however it was they were living, he was sure this is where they were bound, unless they changed. One of the meanings of the word repent. That's why he wanted a ghost to go scare them straight. The real question, though, isn't about this rich man and his brothers. The real question is what we are going to be like. We've done a dangerous thing. We read a portion of God's Word today. So, except for those of you who are snoozing, you heard it. Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do about it? The issue is whether or not you and I will listen to God's words and then live them. And in this particular story, the way to live them is to treat others with dignity and compassion and generosity and mercy. Not walk around or step over those who are in trouble, but to reach out and help them. Will we be wise builders who listen to the Lord and then live it? Or will we be foolish builders who let the Lord's words go in one ear and out the other? We might even be able to repeat them. The rich man may have even been able to recite the same passages we read this morning from Moses and the prophets. Being able to quote them or even look them up, that doesn't cut it. We've got to live it, plain and simple. And that's the challenge we each face every single day. Am I going to live it or just give it lip service? That part's not so easy. I'm not saying it is, but it's the challenge we face. I appreciate you listening. We come to a time in our assembly that we set aside for sharing. Maybe that you're struggling in some area of your faith walk. You need to know that we are all there. While someone may not be struggling in a particular matter you're struggling with, they're wrestling with something else. And we need to help each other. And if you would like the prayers of your brothers and sisters for some situation you're dealing with, or just strength for your trial, or whatever it is, then we want to give you that opportunity to share it with us. It may be that you want to know more about this Jesus. His teachings are hard because they go against human nature. But the silver lining in all of that is He gives us grace and mercy. He Himself came to this earth out of an act of compassion and generosity to die in our place. And if you want to know more about this Savior who loved you that much, you want to know how to enter into a saving relationship with Him, we would be happy to open up the Word of God and let it show you how to do that. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing. One of our shepherds, Phil Wheedle's up here. If you want to come up and share with him what you want shared with the congregation at that time, you're more than welcome to. But if that's just a little too much, too public, that's okay. Just pull someone aside after services. Someone you know, someone you're comfortable with, someone you trust. And share with them your need so that they can pray with and for you.